B-Pod Studios.
Beaker. Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Ba-do-zap, ba-do-zap.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox!
Season four, your mom's a whore.
Pizza time.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
I have four recliners. He has three.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
He's the goat I'd always cry before you left the saw on the New England to Florida pipeline. Like a 70-year-old and seeing you from on the other side, I can see it, what it's for. Tom Brady is a piece of shit, a piece of shit.
Tom Brady used to stand you like Slim Shady, up until you and Gronk skipped town like Warren Beatty. No debating, I used to defend you like crazy. Humpty Dumpty on the wall, now I'm cracking like M80s. Been praying lately on your downfall, cause I think maybe my Pat's colored glasses have my vision a little hazy. Is it just me or was that you? Crying like a baby on every call you didn't get, like you and refs were on the same team. Why is the league soft? Look in the mirror, pretty boy. Recognize your face with more plastic than a toy. That collage you throughout the years, it really makes me think. You end at GQ when you start as the missing link. A curious case of human evolution. This cool guy QB2 robotic institution. A G.I. Joe who likes slightly softer balls. You're damn right I ripped your posters off the walls. Sold all my Brady jerseys, shirts, socks, and drawers. And donated all the profits to your least favorite cause. Stop acting like the underdog. You played at Michigan. Your family was well off. Your position was set up to win. Your privilege explains how you play with entitlement. And think you cure cancer with minerals and vitamins. I'm drinking water now to wash away the Kool-Aid. Thought after 20 years that it might be too late. But touche, you douche. Pretending to be drunk at the Super Bowl parade for the public, your new face, your calculated stunt made me remember we're done. It's Pats for life, not you, you bum.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Dutcher and Rich Radio Program. Town Fair Tire Studios. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv. You can follow 98.5 The Sports Hub. You'll get an email reminding you that we're on in case you forgot it. You can give us a call at 617-779-0985. We will talk at great length. John and I are almost simpatico on our feelings of the Patriots, and it's a positive feeling.
I don't know how you can watch that game and not feel positive about the Patriots. And if you are, then you're fooling yourself, and you're being, you know, somewhat of a hardo, thinking that was anything less than. I know they say moral victories aren't real. That was a moral victory,
but no, not this year. We think they're done this year, but. You have and we'll get into it a lot, but there's a lot of things I want to get to from over the weekend. But you know you have a good quarterback. Like, you know, and you know what he can do and what he can't do. He'll never be bad. And we know that. And so John and I were talking about how you now know this season you're not doing anything, but you moving forward, you know what you have to do. And John, you can elaborate on that.
Yeah, there are a couple things involved here. One, you saw Mac Jones take a tremendous amount of punishment in the first half and stand in there and continue to deliver over and over and over again. As a matter of fact, he got so good at it, Tampa Bay just stopped blitzing altogether in the second half. That was a show of respect. Okay, we can't rattle you.
Yes.
We know you're a rookie, but we can't rattle you, so we're going to have to go play zone defense. And how many times did Mac Jones pick on Richard Sherman?
Yeah, it was
who
great.
Might be a Hall of Famer one day.
And going into the game, you heard analysis about he's a rookie. He's not going to be able to take advantage of that, and he was able to take advantage of that.
He was great. Last night, Mac Jones was great last night, And I don't know how you can look at that game and think any differently, but there are two sides to this, Rich. You were talking about there not being any moral victories. I mean, the Patriots went into this game as massive underdogs. We all sat here and thought they were going to lose by three touchdowns.
Oh, yeah.
And give it up to Dan Lifschitz, who called this one. I mean,
I was wanting them to win just so Lifschitz right. could be
a, nice
a human
lap.
Middle finger on Twitter sure. yesterday.
Well, they had a chance to win it.
Yeah, but in the end... I mean, you were lucky to be there at halftime because Tom Brady missed a lot of throws and receivers dropped a lot of balls, but you were not lucky to be there at the end. You were just as good as that team, if not better, in the second half. And I walked away from that game thinking they really should have won.
Well,
strategy from now on is what you know you have to do.
Yes.
Is in what we were getting to is, yes. is that you know. Like, you don't need to receive... We were talking about this. If there's, right. if there's a left guard who's going to be your left guard for 10 years on the draft board, and there's a kid that runs a 4.240, you're taking the left guard.
That takes the top off the defense.
You're taking the left guard.
In order
guard,
to build around this kid, and there were complaints, oh, he can only throw a short pass. Yeah, but he'll complete 8 out of 10 of them. So
he's never...
he'll move the football right. down the field, and when the other team scores, he's not scared. He'll get the ball and go right back down the field and score to get you back in the game.
As far as Mac, though, my favorite thing that came out of yesterday was, do you remember when we were talking about before the season started, how we didn't think that Mac Jones... would be able to mentally be tough enough to be thrown into this Sunday night football game.
Yeah, that's
the
wrong.
The biggest regular season game ever, it seems like,
right.
once
wrong.
The ratings come out.
Yeah, we learned that this kid's not scared of anything.
Last he's night, never going to be bad.
The spotlight was not too big for him.
Nope.
And the biggest game that, I mean, other than, of course, the
national championship,
but the biggest regular season NFL game ever, he got out there and delivered and was cool as a cucumber and not rattled.
And we found out it wasn't just about the skill players at Alabama.
All right. But you know what you have.
Yeah.
Is that he's a kid that's never going to be bad, and he's a kid that's never going to be electric. So what you know, you have to protect them, and you have to give them guys who can possession receivers and guys who can get yards after the catch.
You need guys who can run the football. You need good offensive linemen, and you need three or four Jacoby Myers like wide receivers.
Yes,
that's what you need around this kid for the next decade for the Patriots to succeed. But unlike other teams who draft quarterbacks and are like, well, you know, we think he can do this, we think he can do that, but we're not really sure. The Patriots can draft now immediately. They know exactly what it is they have. They know this kid can do it, and they know this kid can do it against really good teams. So let's maximize his skill set. You know exactly what his skill set is, and we learned all that last night.
And you know who he is.
Yep. Yes.
And you know what he's going to be.
Yes, and the Patriots are very lucky that way because it takes teams 2, 3, 4 years to find out what they have as far as quarterbacks are concerned. I mean, we were talking about Zach Wilson really briefly last night. Zach Wilson looked lost the first 3 weeks of the season, and then briefly in the third quarter yesterday, you saw what he's capable of doing. But then he went back to in the fourth quarter, and
he can do things that Mac Jones can't do. But the thing is that he can. He's Favre-esque. I mean, he's chucking it all over the place. He's telling receivers to break routes and he wants to throw deep. So he is who he is. Building around him is a lot different than building around Mac Jones, and he could lose. And it's going to take Wilson a while. Not Mac Jones. Mac Jones is here. He is what he is. And he's never going to be bad. I mean, Zach Wilson's going to struggle in games this year, and he's going to have problems. But I mean, Zach Wilson can do things physically that Mac Jones is never going to be able to do.
But a bad game for Mac Jones is not much different than a bad game for Trevor Lawrence or Zach Wilson or anybody else. Justin Fields. You'll never see Jones with a Justin Fields type of game.
He's a game manager, but a game manager that, if you build around him the right way, is not going to crap himself.
Nope.
And so that's what you got. That's why he was the fifth quarterback taken.
That was the ultimate mental test last night for Mac Jones. And he passed with flying colors.
Yes,
he passed.
That is the overwhelming positive from last night.
So you know what you have. And so there you go. That's good to know. So if you're a Patriots fan, listen, you're 1-3. It doesn't look. You should really have beat Miami. That's
that tied Miami for second, game I think.
That's right. what are we, Dan O'Brien? Came in. Are we tied for last or are we tied for second?
Tied for second
in the division.
Yeah, you're tied for second. I mean, listen, a lot of teams are struggling. Listen, is there a chance you could sneak into the third wild card chart?
But who knows if they will? But you saw improvement last night, right. And you saw improvement on the defensive side of the ball too, which sure. I thought was a big deal.
I never thought those three cornerbacks could hang in there,
and
the
entire
game. And give Belichick credit; that was ballsy to do. He said, "Nope, we're going man to man. We got our three guys against your three guys, and we'll see who wins." I'm amazed they were able to hang in there night.
Brady was outplayed by Mac Jones. I mean, Brady did not play well.
Well, Brady, you could tell, was way too hyped in that game. He was throwing over guys' heads.
He played poorly.
Yeah, he did.
Especially in the first half. Second half, he started. That's the thing that amazed me about last night. He started to make throws. Receivers stopped dropping balls in the second half, and you were still there.
Antonio Brown.
Well, I mean, yes, at the end. But for a large part of that second half, you were there.
He's looking
you
at Antonio Brown going, I did this once, okay. I'm going to do it again.
Yeah.
Like, I know you're there.
I mean, that pass was just
beautiful.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Just gorgeous.
Well, the first time Antonio Brown didn't know the ball was in the air.
Yeah.
And then the second one was right in his hands.
Should have had it. I agree.
So, whatever. And then they would have won the game, and you wouldn't have had a chance to win with the missed field goal, whatever. But, I mean, what are you going to kill folk for missing a field goal?
No, 56-yard field goal in the driving rain. Nobody's killing folk. Now, I think that he had hit a 56-yarder or 57, I believe, in pregame, but it wasn't raining at the time.
No. It was a torrential downpour. I mean, that's tough. But listen.
And there's going to be a lot of questions. There's a lot of stuff to talk about this morning as to whether or not they should have gone for it on 4th-and-3.
I had no trouble with them kicking the field goal.
I didn't either. No, but there's a bunch of people who seem to be killing the team for it. But that's a coin flip to me.
But that's the way you played the game. That's the way you were going to win that game.
See, I think that what they were saying was, why not go for it? Because even if you made it, Brady would get the ball back with a minute left. And,
oh, well, all right.
I mean,
You played the game to have it come down to a field goal.
Yeah.
And that was the way you were going to win. I mean, we knew that. And listen, they couldn't run the ball at all. I mean, New England couldn't run the ball at all. And New England was atrocious.
Which makes
minus one, I
which
think.
Which makes the performance by Mac Jones all that much more amazing.
So it was basically running by the forward pass. I mean,
you win this, Mac. You get out there and win this for us.
Well, you go out there and you make this a field goal game. You go out there and you give us a position, and that's why you kicked the field goal there, is because that's what you were playing for. We weren't playing to win the game by two touchdowns. You were hoping time expired with you having a chance to win the game. That's what you were hoping for. So that was the way the game was played. You hit the field goal, you win. You miss it, you lose. But, I mean, what'd they think? They were going to go in there and, like, sling it around and score 55 points? No. So, good. If you're a Patriots fan, you should be happy.
Also, on top of that, there was so much fantastic weirdness that we have to get to at some point in the show. I mean, just, like, a freak show on the broadcast yesterday.
The best was Reese, early in the day, put out a tweet of this guy with the half Brady, half... First of all, there's a lot we have to get to. I'm very proud of the New England fans.
Oh, my God. Fred, that was my number one takeaway from the
game.
Very
proud of you.
Like, I mean, you proved that you are not a pink hat crowd.
Yeah,
the
very
moment
proud
Tom Brady came out there, at the beginning, everyone was cheering, like, all right, we'll see what
happens. It was half and half.
But when he stepped out there, as soon as the game started, the boos were, I mean, it was like one of those moments
very
where I was
proud.
Just so proud. I wanted to just put a big hug.
Very proud of the New England fans. Very proud.
That's how you do it.
You shocked me. They call me Ace Frehley because you shocked me. You all were wearing black leather.
That was great. That was awesome. That was a cool moment. That was probably my favorite thing about yesterday's game was the way that the Patriot fans were just like, nope, you're still a quarterback on the other side of things, and we're going to hate you for the rest of the game.
Went to the movies for the first time by myself.
How'd that go?
It was very enjoyable. I saw the Sopranos film.
Yep.
Let's see. Somebody panned it. Oh, I was listening to Jim Murray over the weekend, and he could not say enough bad things.
I thought it was fine.
I don't know what he thought was going to happen.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. Yeah,
no, he went on and on. It was about a 10-minute rant about how bad the movie was.
He also hated The Irishman, which I thought was really
good. No, yeah, he did.
David Chase, I'll tell you, does not like his parents. Not at all. David Chase does not like his parents. Because the villains on The Sopranos are villainous as anything during that. It was like two decent episodes of The Sopranos in a row.
Yeah, it was fine. It was fine.
No, seeing a movie by yourself is one of life's hidden mysteries.
I told Fred that. Unlocked. It's great. I've done it
maybe four or five times. You know, just get out of here and go see a movie back when, you know, before things shut down. I would do that, and it was fantastic. One of the Fast and Furious movies. Sat in a theater by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
I had to ask a guy that was at the movie something why something happened. I actually had to ask him why so-and-so put the hit on so-and-so.
Oh, okay. We'll talk about it in the break.
Yeah, because I didn't know it was just because he made fun of
him. Oh, that's
falling.
It? Oh, no. That was... Okay, we'll talk about that. Because that was great.
No, but I didn't know it.
You didn't remember that scene? Because it wasn't just that. There was also another thing that happened earlier in the movie. It had been building the entire time.
Overwhelmed with the...
Oh, yeah.
By being by myself. I went to Cape Cod for a baseball game, and on Saturday night, I got an email that the baseball game was canceled.
So you just had a nice weekend in Cape Cod.
No, I drove to Cape Cod. We had dinner and went to bed and woke up and left Cape Cod.
What part of Cape Cod were you in?
Falmouth.
Okay.
Oh, I love Falmouth. So you're right there.
You didn't have to go all the way out. You just went over the bridge and took a right.
I would have preferred not to spend the $600 and sleep in my own bed and not have to drive an hour and a half each way.
Yep.
All right. Well, a lot to get to today. And finally, it's over. The game is over. And if you were there, you sat through the rain, and you saw Mac Jones prove himself to be a pretty darn good NFL quarterback. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They get you going. They get you going every day.
He looks worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night?
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. By the way, I ordered lasagna at a restaurant Saturday night, and there was no noodles in it. It was meat lasagna, but it was just layers of different kinds of meat with sauce and cheese. And I didn't realize until I was halfway through it that there was no pasta in it.
How is that lasagna then? Doesn't it have to have pasta to be
like
a part of lasagna?
What? It's like a layered meat cake is what that is.
That's exactly what it was. And I didn't realize.
I mean, it actually sounds pretty good, but you can't call it lasagna.
It was fine.
Okay.
But, you know, I wanted a little pasta in there. I didn't know that it was all meat. It was like sliced sausages, sliced like deli meat.
That's false advertising, man.
Yeah.
So it was like the pasta, what you're saying, was almost like a thin sliced salami almost?
Yes.
Well, that's kind of cool. I'll eat that.
All right.
Yeah, but when you get lasagna, you're like, come on, let's get the carbs in here. That movie was like a Lifshad's dream.
It was like a ground up tomahawk
sticking out of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, the tomahawk was a big conversation point at dinner.
Yeah.
I was Googling how many calories in a tomahawk.
I mean, you see one in person, and you're like, all right, there's no way one human should be eating that.
Yeah.
No way. Well, the Patriots are one doink away from pulling the ultimate upset.
Folk paces off his steps. Cardona will snap it back. Bailey turns and receives. Kick is airborne to the uprights. A line drive kick. Fighting off the goalpost and hit the left upright. It hit the left upright. Tampa Bay still leads by two.
Oh, Lifshatz, he was just that close to looking like a genius. There we go.
I figure most people have watched the game. They know the highlights. Mike, go ahead.
All right, guys. I just got one point that I'd like to see if anybody guys caught on this was the play of Kyle Van Noy yesterday. I don't think he should wear another Patriots jersey ever. He was that bad.
Yes.
I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yes, he almost blew the game for
Kyle
that.
Van Noy was a liability.
Yeah.
And Kyle Van Noy was trying to get himself on TV.
Well, there was one moment where someone ran up, and it might have been Judon, got in the face of Tom Brady after one of the plays and was like running his mouth. And Van Noy kind of started going that way, and they realized maybe it's a bad idea.
Well,
then stopped. He stopped short of talking trash to Tom Brady.
Was it Devin McCourty and Brady were having like a moment or something, and Van Noy tried to like weasel in on it?
I saw that pass interference, and I immediately thought, if he's the reason they win this game, I'm going to. Fred's just going to have a field day tomorrow. I mean, that was just...
Well, that was the first play on what turned out to be the game-winning drive.
It was,
I mean, that's what gave Tampa Bay the ball on the Patriots' side of the field.
It's true.
That was the first play that put the ball there. Brady got one or two more first downs, and they kicked the field goal that won it. Good for you.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, you wanted people to notice you.
Yeah, you did. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. When you popped up and looked at the ref like, me? Yeah, you. That was obvious.
We all know who you are now.
So does the national audience.
Exactly.
Well, the night started with cheers when Brady came onto the field for warm-ups, but as soon as the game started, the fans, they treated Brady like he was any other visiting quarterback.
37-yard punt, eventually gathered in, downfield by Jakob Johnson.
Here we go.
And the two-syllable chant before the game has changed now. Begins with a B.
We've been with him on the road in these situations. The problem is he relishes that.
No, he doesn't.
Tom Brady, 68 yards from passing Drew Brees.
Yeah, I don't think he liked that.
No, he stunk.
Yeah, he was rattled yesterday.
Brady did not play well.
No.
Belichick had something to do with it in the second half anyway.
Oh, well, Belichick had a lot to do with it. I thought he did a good job mixing things up.
Well, obviously, Belichick did a good job, but let's not go crazy. I mean, Brady played poorly.
Yes. He did.
He did not throw the ball.
No, in the first half, he gunned the ball over four or five receivers, and he didn't get any help because like there was one ball over the middle of Cameron Brate that he just dropped. It almost hit him in the face. But in the second half, Belichick got in his head. It was great to watch, actually, because Brady had spent the last 20 years solving defenses, couldn't solve his head coach.
I think Brady knew what was going on and was just not accurate. He was overly hyped up, and everything that people speculated on that side of it was correct.
And the Patriots defense, as we were saying earlier, they did a great job on Tom all night, including Matthew Judon, who has just been excellent this season.
Brady drops back for the play fake. He's pressured. He's wrapped up. He's sacked. And Judon has another for the Patriots back at the 28.
Turn that man loose.
I loved his attitude last week, too, when they were talking to him about it, and everyone was, talking about and waxing poetic about Tom Brady. He goes, "We're not afraid of Tom Brady. What are you talking about?
He played for Baltimore. Yeah. I never played with him. Yeah. He's always been the opposition to me.
Yeah. You play for Baltimore. They don't like Tom Brady.
Nope.
So these press conferences, I mean, Judon, people were like, I wonder if that's going to motivate Brady. You don't take a guy from, it's like Bart Scott, like when he played for the Jets. You don't take a guy from Baltimore and they preached in Baltimore, like, screw this guy. You're not afraid of going in there. I mean, think of the one coach we knew. The one coach, we always said it, that wasn't afraid of Harbaugh. Gillette was Harbaugh.
Yep.
So he obviously, Judon's a veteran. Judon's 30 years old. Is the one thing that they did is they obviously brainwashed them to not be afraid of Brady and not to be afraid of Gillette. That we know.
Yep.
Because that was the one team in the playoffs where you were like, oh, they got a shot because they're not going to be intimidated. The one team in the AFC. And just like when Bart Scott got to the Jets and he was like, can't wait. And just they didn't respect it. So if any of the players were not going to be frazzled. But Judon, and listen, he's older. He's not going to be playing here for, five, 6 years. But for what you got in free agency on what could be a non-playoff season, should you have gotten him, should you not have gotten him, that can be debated. But he is not undebatably your best player.
Yep, no question. Well, they limited Tom to only 269 yards, no touchdown passes. That's just the second time since he's been a Buck that he didn't throw a touchdown during a game. I mean, as you were saying, it was basically man-to-man defense most of the night. He completed just 51% of his passes, and that's his lowest since 2019.
He stunk.
His 70 passer rating, also his lowest in almost a dozen games. But on the other side of the ball, Mac Jones. He had his best night as a Patriot yet.
Harris shifts to the right hip of Jones, who takes a shotgun step, stands in, looks down the middle, throws it, caught by Henry at the 2, fights away from a tackler, and runs to the end zone, and spikes it for a Patriots touchdown.
There's your tight end. walks in. Look poised by the kid.
Yep, and despite getting his head ripped off, Mac Jones did an excellent job. 275 yards, 2 touchdowns, interception, all this while getting sacked 4 times and hit 12. I don't know how long you can do this, but at one point in the night, Jones completed 19 consecutive passes, matching the longest streak of Brady's career.
I formation, Johnson in front of Harris. Play fake, throw to the back of the end zone. Touchdown, Johnny Smith. A beautiful fake from Jones to Harris. And a touchdown to tie it, pending the point after.
I know I said it 2 weeks ago, and even on the opening night, but I tell you what, you got a quarterback.
John, and again, we'll just keep reiterating this throughout because I know it was a late game and people are going to be joining us, is that John and I, and Rich, I believe, too, is on the same page. You know what you got with this kid. He's never going to be bad. You know how you got to build this team. And that a kid who can complete 19 passes in a row, listen, is he going to sling one, 80 yards underhand? No.
Doesn't matter. What kind of passes they are. You complete 19 in a row.
Exactly. And you know.
That's pretty damn good.
Right. And you know now how to draft. You know now who to draft. You know now who to pick up in free agency.
You need this guy.
Hey, Quentin. What's up, man?
You need a Quentin. Is it Quentin Nelson? Isn't that his? Yeah.
It's true. If there's a Jamar Chase or there's a Quentin Nelson, and do I get Jamar Chase or I get Quentin Nelson, you're taking Quentin Nelson.
No question.
Jamar Chase, I don't know what he's going to do for you.
Invest in that line, man. That's what you need.
Because really, what's Jamar Chase going to do for you? I mean, Mac Jones isn't that type of quarterback. But he is consistent. He is unflappable, and he's immensely accurate. And he also, no moment is too big for the kid. So if I'm a Patriots fan, whatever with this season, but if I'm a Patriots fan, I'm excited. I mean, now you know how to build the team. And now you know how to build a team as a fan, so every time they do something not in that direction, you know to be upset.
Yeah. The other part of it, real quick, sorry, Rich, the one other thing that you gained from last night, and you saw New Orleans call off the dogs in the second half and the Patriots offense changed. I think now, anybody watching the film of what happened last night, because Tampa Bay is a great front seven, they get to the quarterback. If Tampa Bay stops blitzing you, then other teams are going to watch this film and go, okay, we can't blitz this kid. We may try at times to try and change things up, but we're not going to blitz. They must have blitzed at least half the time.
They got an interception out of one, early in the game. But then they realized that it wasn't working.
And the overriding point is this helps the offensive line, which has shown it can't handle the blitz. So this has a trickle-down effect. This kid can stand in there and deliver in the face of the blitz. And force other teams not to do it.
I don't know.
Offensive line is helped out by this.
I don't know. If I'm a team, I'm still first half want to hit the kid. I mean, I'm not going to just fall back and let him.
But they're not going to see it as much as they saw it the last 2 weeks, I guess is my point.
Maybe in the first half. Maybe in the second half. In the first half, I think if you can hit the kid 12 times, I've been hitting the kid 12 times. I mean, hitting him is hitting him. I don't want him just to sit there and have a clean pocket every time, but...
Well, we got a ton to talk about, but let's get to some of the post-game stuff. How about the secret meeting that happened between Brady and Belichick?
I was wrong. I thought that they were much more spiteful individuals.
Nope.
I didn't know they were going to just mug it. They both listened to the show, and they just wanted to prove me wrong. I didn't know that was going to be the case. All right, we'll get to all of that, and we'll be right back. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mack moves under center. Aguilar motions into the backfield. He joins Harris there. Hand off to Harris. Pass. Tosses it back to Myers. He's going to look to throw it. Down the right side for Aguilar. Catch at the 20 and stride. He's tackled by Sherman. First out of bounds at the 10-yard line. Razzle dazzle.
Yeah, I love the okey-doke.
Yeah.
We're up all night watching football.
We're up all night watching football. Brady, half Tampa Bay.
Yeah, so I didn't finish the thought. Reese put up a photo early in the day of a guy, and he gave the guy his name. I felt kind of bad. Who had the, and he was all proud of himself. He was with his wife and daughter, and he has half Brady Tampa Bay and half New England shirt, and he has his arm around him. And then the next picture was like him pointing to the back of it, and the people on Twitter were not nice.
No, that's not a good look.
No,
we've known that for a while, and
can't be doing that.
Not good. Well, as you saw, Tom and Bill, they did meet midfield for a brief hug after the game, but Bill Belichick did go to the Bucs locker room and spoke in private with Brady for a reported 20-plus minutes. Tom afterwards was asked about what was said in that meeting, and here's what he had to say.
I mean, all those are personal, so we've had a personal relationship, and you know, for 20-plus years, so he drafted me here, and I've had a lot of personal conversations that should remain that way, and they're very private, and I would say so much is made of our relationship, and you know, as I said earlier this week, you know, from a player standpoint, you just expect the coach to give you everything he's got. And as a, I'm sure as a player, that's what he was hoping for me. But nothing's really accurate that I ever see. It's all, you know, definitely doesn't come from my personal feelings or beliefs. And I have a lot of respect for him as a coach and obviously a lot of respect for this organization.
That Kyle Van Noy sucks, doesn't he, dear Tom?
I'm surprised Kyle Van Noy didn't pop up from underneath the podium. And
I'm back.
Let me on TV.
For 20 minutes, all he did was rip on Kyle Van Noy.
Yeah.
And then they laughed and slapped each other in the back.
It's so funny because after Van Noy's pass interference penalty, that Dunkin' Donuts penalty with him with the headphones, air drumming. I mean,
he's so funny in that commercial.
Come on, enough.
He is so funny in that commercial.
Well, Brady did tease. However, he might be back at Gillette at some time in the future.
It's been a great stadium, you know, for me for a long time. So I don't know what the future holds. You know, obviously there could be an opportunity to come back here. So we'll see. I feel like I'll always be a part of this community, and I'll be up here quite a bit when it's all said and done. When I retire, I'm sure there'll be, you know, a lot of time for. I have a lot of friends up here, and it's a great place. And again, my kids were born on Beacon Street in the city, and you know, it's been an amazing place for me. It still is, and I obviously see a lot of. Familiar, friendly faces, and it's great to see you guys, too.
Mm-hmm. And what was there, like a little tease there at one point, saying that he could be back in some sort of aspect at Gillette Stadium?
Yeah, when they do the, you know, when they have sell out the stadium on a non-game day to, you know, induct him in the Hall of Fame, yeah.
Or he, when his billionaire wife, they pull together money and buy the place,
yeah. She'll be the next owner of the team.
Yeah, we got this tweet last night. It says, Hightower says something to Brady before the last snap of the game. Understandable. Kyle Van Noy tries to do the same. Why does he think he's a main character in anything other than a sleep apnea commercial?
I haven't seen a sleep apnea commercial with him in it.
Well, when I got my sleep apnea device, they were selling me that Kyle Van Noy was the, it had changed his life.
Oh, well, fantastic. Huh.
Okay. That's why I don't use it anymore.
Well, now, this was interesting last night. There was the return of Antonio Brown as well. And if you remember, he took an absolute flamethrower to Robert Kraft when he left town, writing some pretty crappy stuff on him on Instagram. We're looking for the clip right now, but Antonio was asked about that stuff afterwards, and he was very apologetic. He was like, I was extremely mature. I shouldn't have done any of that stuff, and I apologize to the Kraft family and to the Krafts. It was really kind of a unexpected thing for Antonio Brown to say. Maybe he was humbled by that easy, like, right in his hands touchdown drop in the end zone.
Or that he didn't know the ball was in the air the first time that pass was attempted.
Right.
Yes.
Look left, ball was right. He was like, huh?
Yeah, Brady said, Antonio, you're open in the end zone. I can get you the ball. We did it once, and now I'll do it again, but you'll drop it, yes.
Well, also, even though it was supposed to be the return of Gronk as well, Lifshatz had this one right. According to Jay Glazer, Gronk has four cracked ribs, one broken rib, and a punctured lung. I just want to know who the doctor was last week that gave him an exam and said, all right, go back in.
That was like, a Schefter. That was a Schefter tweet after the game was over that the x-rays were negative,
yeah,
too.
So
well, they came out weird. And said the x-rays were negative, and then they did an MRI and found all the breaks.
But, I mean, how do you miss, like, a punctured lung and four ribs? It's one thing for, like, you miss, like, one. But, I mean, that's a lot to miss. Like, what is an MRI for if it doesn't find four cracked ribs and a punctured lung?
The MRI found it. The x-ray did not.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, but what is an x-ray for, then, if you can't find four cracked ribs?
I don't know. Find that odd.
Yeah, that is strange, but I don't know if that's the best doctor in the world, if you sent him out there for that. If you, by the way, if you're wondering if last night just kind of felt like a lot of different games this season, that's because 15 games this season have had a game-winning score in the final minute of regulation or overtime. I mean, it seems like how many games have you seen ended with a field goal either missed or made? It's been more than, I think, any other season in the first 4 weeks than in the past 50 years. More games have been decided within the final minute of every game. So there you go. You finally got to see a little bit of action from Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. Tight ends, you know, I mean, they didn't really, you look at the stat sheet, it's nothing crazy, but they were the two that ended up being in the end zone.
Well, they threw into the end zone.
They did.
Yeah, that's nice.
Plus, they flew into the end zone.
Although the Henry
as well.
Touchdown wasn't a ball into the end zone.
No.
It was close to the end zone.
Well, the Smith one was.
Yes.
And how about an unsportsmanlike conduct from the most sportsmanlike player in the NFL, Matthew Slater?
Yeah, this ain't your grandma's Matthew Slater. This is prime time Slates. Get into the head.
Yep.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was sloppy. Slopping him up, committing 7 penalties, 74 yards. On top of that, that running game was just as putrid as you can imagine. If you got to take anything bad away from it, that would be
their offensive line sucks.
I mean, it does suck, but I mean, 8 carries for minus 1 yard.
But I mean, boy,
that's a record low for the franchise. They've never played that bad.
I'm curious just why this line. Is it Scarnecchio? Was he just this incredible genius that...
Don't downplay that fact. I mean,
just said,
remember when he was gone
Scarnecchio
for a little bit and then they brought him back? There was a fairly drastic change in quality.
I don't know what he does or how these guys need to be taught to play football when they've been professionals for this long, but that line blows.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't open up any running lanes. They can't pass protect. I mean, they suck. Now, listen, Mac Jones doesn't get rid of the ball very quickly, but still, I mean, he shouldn't be getting hit this much. I mean, some of it is on him, but he shouldn't be getting hit this much. I mean, Mac does hang on to the ball at times for too long, but he played his 4th game last night, and that's going to happen. Every rookie quarterback has that.
Well, and every team, I think, wishes they had this.
From the 25, 2 receivers, left, 2 right, plus a tight end right. Shotgun snap to Brady, 3-man rush. He loads up. He's thrown a long ball down the right side for Fournette. The ball is knocked incomplete, but Kyle Van Noy will get called for a flag.
Yeah.
A pass interference, perhaps, on the Patriots linebacker.
Mason, yep. I'm back.
And wouldn't you know it, 2 minutes later, Tampa had the lead in the win. How about that?
Yeah, that was a big
good
play.
Good for you, Kyle Van Noy. You've done it again.
That was a big play. That was a play that got them on the other side of the field and got them rolling. And, yeah, it led to the...
It did lead to the game-winning field goal.
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple plays before, but, yeah.
Yeah.
It certainly helped the cause of Tampa Bay.
Dan, is that true? Dan was just said in my headphones that Kyle Van Noy somehow wiggled his way into the open with Kerry Underwood.
Yes.
Is that
now,
right?
The Sunday night open. It may have been because who else on the Patriots do you... I guess when they're looking for people... And that Carrie Underwood singing the Waited All Day for Sunday Night, he popped up twice.
I mean,
so it's like Brady, and then they actually, I think they showed Gronk, and they showed, you know, the Super Bowl, and then they showed Mac Jones, and then all of a sudden it was Kyle Van Noy. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Well, maybe it was Edelman, because that's usually Edelman's role. Edelman calls out, here's the guy I want to replace me.
He slid a Finsky to the guy doing the pregame stuff.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Waiting all night, day to see Kyle Van Noy.
He's doing the jersey tug like he's standing there like...
Yeah, he's T.C. Tuggers.
Yeah.
He's doing the jersey tug like this.
Pull it out like this.
But you can't make fun of it.
You can't
say it ironically.
Mm-mm.
So, yeah, there you go. The game is over, and you found out you got yourself a quarterback, and now you know you can build accordingly. Is this season going to end in a Super Bowl? No. Is this season going to end in the playoffs? Most likely, no. But you know how to build in the future, which I think is nice for a building team. Now you know what you need to get.
The most important thing you need is a quarterback.
Yep.
And they have one.
Yeah. Yep.
Congratulations. You found out once and for all, this kid can do it.
And but with him at quarterback, you know you're going to need a very, very good offensive
sure,
line.
Sure, sure. I mean, those are the preferences. But as we said earlier, it takes some teams 1, 2, 3 years to figure out exactly what they need to build around their quarterback. Here you are, game four. You know exactly what you need.
He's not going to be able to elude the rush. He can't throw on the move. There's limitations to him. But that being said, you know if he has protection that he's incredibly accurate and there's no moment too big for him, which is great. But now you know what you need to do. And, you know, is he going to lead the team down the field? Is he going to, you know, make the SportsCenter highlights every week? No. He's not going to make plays like that. I mean, I just saw Russell Wilson throw off 1 foot into the end zone for a touchdown. I mean, he's just not going to do that.
Just think about how crazy that was that they put the game in his hands yesterday. I mean, I give Josh McDaniels a little bit of credit where it's like the minute they knew the running game wasn't working, they just stopped. Like, they didn't continue to try to force it. But think about that. What's usually the plan against Tom Brady? When you're playing Tom Brady, how do you usually take his powers away? You try to run that clock, run the ball as much as you can. So think about how much was on Mac Jones's shoulders when they asked him to continue to pass.
Now it was
especially against that team.
It was a very conservative passing game. Let's not go crazy.
Sure.
It was very conservative, but I mean it worked. Listen, man, they're a better team than you. Listen, their secondary sucks. Mike Jones is gonna have a bad game. I mean, he's gonna have another bad game. He will. He's a rookie. That secondary blows. However, you know, he stood in the face of that pressure and you know, at one point got 19 off in a row. And you can, I know other shows are probably going to go on and go, you know, oh, well, you know, they didn't put up a lot of points. But in that game, you had a chance to win it at the end of the game.
And you know
what?
That's
all you can ask.
And you know what? Give Jones credit because he led a couple of drives in that fourth quarter. I mean, again, the field goal to put the Patriots up 17-16 was right after Tampa had kicked a field goal. He gets the ball back. I mean, there was that one trick play, but he went right down the field. I mean, he completed a bunch of passes, a couple of which were over 15 yards. So they were able to get that offense down the field, and Jones was the reason why they did that. Now, can he do that an entire game? Can he bring you back from 21 points down in the third quarter? No, that's not what he is.
No.
But he is certainly a guy that if the game is close, isn't going to crap himself either.
Yes, he can put you in a position to win games. He's not going to win them single-handedly. It's not a Kansas City situation where
it's not a gunslinger.
You know, when Kansas City's down 21 points, you go, he'll just chuck it around. He's not going to do that. And, you know, he needs to get that protection because he can't elude the rush. We've seen that. He just can't do it. But that's not his game.
No.
He'd rather stand in there and take a hit.
Well, what's he going to do?
I know what I'm saying.
He can't run.
I know, but at least some quarterbacks will protect themselves after delivering the football. Nope, this
kid's not there yet, dude. He's not there yet.
Oh,
of course, he's taking hits. He doesn't. He doesn't. He's not there yet.
I know.
He can't like scramble and make guys miss.
But,
and
I mean,
do flippity flops and spins.
He sees the linebacker coming. It's coming right in his face.
Yeah, but
he'll stand there. Oh man.
Yeah, but then again, I'll watch some of these other young quarterbacks and they'll run and do somersaults and then they'll miss open receivers.
Right,
so I mean,
no, that's the other side of it. That's true.
The other
I just
side
worry
of it.
About it.
By the way, guys, all right, when we come back, there was a certain person who was not a player who became an instant star on the broadcast last night.
All right.
We have found them and we will have them on after the commercial.
Whoa.
Oh, excellent. I don't know anything about this. We will have that in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.